Jesus Christ took 30 years of his life to study the purpose of his creation. He said, I have come in the volume of the books that is written of me. In that book, Jesus Christ began to ask questions according to the scripture. He said he was found in the temple asking the Pharisees and the Sadducees questions. In the book, he saw where it was written that the Messiah will be born from a virgin birth. And Jesus Christ went to his mother Mary, mommy Mary. He said, Mama, how was I born? And Mary said, you are born of a virgin birth. And Jesus Christ wrote it down. This is one sign of the Messiah. And he went back to the teachers in the house. And he said to them, the Messiah, where is the Messiah going to be born? They said, according to the volume of the books that was written about the Messiah is to be born in Bethlehem, Judah. And he went back to his mother. He said, Mother, where was I born? His mother said, Jesus, you were born in Bethlehem of Judah. Jesus Christ wrote it down as the volume of the things that was written concerning the coming of the Messiah. When he was fully nourished and established that he is truly the Messiah, Jesus Christ began to fight every voices of opposition that wants to make him not to accomplish the purpose of his creation. Let us pray. Our Father and our good God, creator of the heavens and the earth, Papa, before the world began, you know, God, that a day like this will come. Our God and our Savior, we are indeed grateful because you've given the Bride Assembly Church the revelation to stop every power that have been mandated to stop us. That in this understanding, we have come, Emmanuel, in one accord to disgrace the enemy and take that which you've given us from the cross of Calvary. And at the end of today, Emmanuel, we seek us to say there is none like you. In Jesus' blessed name we pray. If you believe in that prayer, just have your seat. Hallelujah. Praise Master Jesus. That which is your heart desire, after today, heaven will make themselves strong in your life in the name of Jesus. Beloved of God, you are in the right track. And I just want to elevate our faith tonight with little exhortation. And then we will move up to pray and take that which belongs to us, that which heaven have given to us freely, and he, the Lord, will release it unto us in the name of Jesus. The word of God says that iron sharpeneth iron. So when we come here, that is what we've come to do. We have come to sharpen each other. When I see you praying, I will not have that zeal to start praying. And before you know, you are pulling down your own mountains, and I am pulling down my own mountains. And at the end, we will come together to give glory unto the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Let us quickly take our test and feed ourselves with little knowledge. Let us quickly take the book of 2 Kings, chapter 7, from verse 1. And verse 2, I read from here. And after then, we go to Nehemiah, chapter 2, verse 10. Okay, 2 Kings, chapter 7. It said, then Elisha said, hear you the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekin, and 2 measures of barley for a shekin in the gate of Samaria. Then a lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, "Behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this be possible?" And the man of God replied him and said, "Behold, thou shalt see it with thy eyes, but thou shalt not eat thereof." Let us quickly go to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 2, verse 10. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 10. When Sanballat the Horonite and Tobias the servant, the Ammonite, heard of it, it grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. Let us have a word of prayer again. Father, we thank you tonight, because we want to deal with every power of opposition that have come to discourage that which you've prepared for us, that which you've enabled us to do. And we say, after today, you will give us the victory. In Jesus' blessed name, we pray. Beloved of God, tonight I want to encourage us or exhort us on what I titled, Voice of Opposition. Voice of Opposition. There are powers in life that have mandated to pull you down. There are men and women that may not have met you one-on-one. They've not have seen you. You may not have spoken with them. You have not come in contact with them. But them just hearing about you, they just develop the hatred in order to make sure you don't get to the position God has created you to be. In the political setting, there is nothing the sitting government will do that will please the opposition party. In every country, there is nothing the sitting, the ruling government will do, even if what the ruling government have done is so unique and everyone is applauding them. Opposition party will look for a fault in that good which the ruling party or the ruling government has done. You hear me? God bless you, sir. Opposition parties, they are there to sponsor bill either to impeach the ruling government or to see how to draw them to the mud. This is the position of opposition parties. When you bring this into your life, when you accepted Christ, immediately you have created an opposition in the devil. And the devil and his agents will begin to bring up voices in order to stop that which the Lord has created you to be. When you try to do your best in your business, in your activities, in your marriage, there's still going to be an opposition voice that will tell you, brother, this you are embarking is not possible. It's not going to be possible. But as a Christian, the sooner you know that you have oppositions in everything you do, the better for you. As a businessman, as a Christian, as a believer, the earlier you realize that God has raised you up and you are this and you are that, the earlier you realize that you already have an opposition, the better for you. Because when you now have that guide, the opposition's criticism helps you to fashion the way you live your life. In the business world, there is what they call SWOT analysis. And in that SWOT analysis, dwells every component goes to study SWOT analysis, because that is where their opposition party lies. They go to study and make that SWOT analysis very strong, because they take the criticism of their opposition and turn it into their strength and their opportunity. As a believer in Christ, from the day you realize in your Christian walk, in your marriage, in your endeavors, that you will naturally have opposition and voices. As a pastor, as a minister, you will have those who have not come in contact with you, but all their desire is to see you fail. And that was the condition Elisha saw himself, and he immediately took the position to pass a word. And that word is what we have come to pass tonight, to stop every opposition voices before they stop us. In the land of Israel, a Samaritan, the nation was besieged by the enemy, that none could go out, none could come in. They began to eat the food that they've stocked, and those food got finished. Unknown to the king, that the pain of the people have so deteriorated that human beings have resorted eating their own children. The king was in the palace. I believe the king still have enough to eat, that he didn't know the pain the masses were going through. On this fateful day, the king decided to stroll through the town to actually see what is happening. And a woman accosted the king, and he said to the king, "Oh my lord, I need your attention because we are in trouble." The king already know that there is famine. He said to her, "If the Lord cannot help you, who am I to help you?" That is the general statement. The woman said, "No, the king, there is more to what you didn't know in this land." He said, "Yesterday, I and this woman agreed to eat our children. And she convinced me to first of all kill my own child so that we will eat. I killed my child, both of us, we ate this child. And the next day, for her to kill her own child, she hid her child and she refused to bring her child for us to eat." That was when it was done on the king that there are more to what he thought was happening in the land than he's seen. He said, "So have the problem of my nation deteriorated to this stand that human being has started eating human being?" And he said, "There is going to be a solution." And as a Jewish king that knows that the prophet supposed to have spoken, a death sentence was placed on the head of Elisha. The king says, "Let it be, if my eyes set on Elisha, I am going to cut off his head. His head will not live again." Because Elisha needed to have called God to know the solution to this problem. And the news came to Elisha. The Bible said, why the messenger came to deliver the message to Elisha, that the king have demanded us to cut off your head. You are not supposed to live in the midst of this trouble. Why the messenger came, the Bible said the king was following the messenger in order to execute that which he has said immediately. He was following him. And in this anger, in this anger that Elisha knew that his life is in danger, Elisha decided to ignite his God-given mandate as a prophet. Elisha didn't hear any voice from heaven. Elisha ignited the gift of God in his life. And Elisha came to public and he said to them, "By this time tomorrow, this is what is going to happen." He spoke it without hearing the voice of the Lord. And the voice of opposition rose to counter the voice of Elisha. The economists, that was with the king rose up after Elisha has made the statements, watching the word that he has spoken to come to fulfillment. There rose the voice of an opposition telling Elisha, even though the gates, the windows of heaven is open, the word that you have spoken will not come to pass. Elisha immediately recognized the voice of opposition. Brother, sister, until you live to recognize the voice of opposition in your business, in your career, in your marriage, and deal with it squarely, you will begin to fight unnecessary battles. Elisha, out of anger, because he spoke this word out of faith, waiting for solution, he said to the man, you are going to see this with your eyes, but you are not going to eat of it all. You are not going to eat of it. Elisha addressed the voice of opposition in the mission the Lord has called him to do. The four lepers are the instrument God has prepared before the world began. That is why in any condition or situation you are as a Christian, give glory to God, because that condition is for his purpose. You may not know what the Lord is working at with that condition you are, but the end of it will justify the means of the beginning. The four lepers that were rejected, they were pushed out of the city gate. They never knew that God allowed the devil to afflict them, because in his divine knowledge, he has prepared these four lepers to be the deliverer, to accomplish the word of his servant Elisha. The Lord saw that Elisha is going to take a bold step in his name, and he has fashioned the four lepers to carry out that which Elisha is going to speak out. Beloved of God, do not allow your condition, do not allow what you are going through, your challenges, to make you feel that God has rejected you or God is not thinking about you. The appointed time, he, the Lord, is going to show you and let you see the reason why he have allowed that situation to linger. Somebody praise Master Jesus. The voices of opposition, they are not friendly. The voices of opposition, they want to disgrace you. The voices of opposition, they want to see you cry. The voices of opposition, they want to see you beg. You've not done anything wrong against them, but that is the mandate and the nature of that position. But your good work is to make sure that when that voice comes, he will see nothing to stop the utterance and the fight you are to fight. Praise Master Jesus. I want somebody open to me the book of Matthew chapter 4. Matthew 4 verse 11. Let's see what Matthew says there. After Jesus has fasted, this is the end of the trial of the devil in his life. When the devil have tried and the devil didn't succeed, let's see what happened here. Verse 11. He said, then the devil leaveth him, and behold, an angel came and ministered unto him. You see, beloved of God, as Bible students, when you read this very scripture, you wouldn't know that there are more to it until you check the four gospels, the four writings of the gospels. You can now marry this to have a better insight of what happened. This is the account of Matthew. Let's see the account of Luke. Luke chapter 4, verse 13. In this same account, we want to bring up something from that very account. In the account of Luke. Take note now. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for what? He departed from him for a season. And the New King James Translation, we say he departed from him for a while. That is to say, when you defeat the devil today, when you defeat the voice of opposition today, you still need to get prepared because they are coming back. When they come back and they see something in you to lay hold of, that puts you into a problem and it makes you their prey. Now, in understanding to that very statement of Luke, let's see the response of Jesus in the book of John chapter 14 verse 30. John 14 verse 30. We are going somewhere. The voices of opposition. He said, hereafter, I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and had nothing in me. Jesus Christ knew that the devil has left him for a season. He knew that the devil is also coming as a voice of opposition to the mission God has given him. And he told the disciples that when the devil cometh, he will see nothing in me to lay hold of. In your life, in your activities, when the enemy extrays your life, when they come to attack, is there anything in you that they can use as a point, as a reference, in order to allow their voice to pull you down? I remember when my wife on her own decided to give up wearing trousers, give up making up, give up putting on earring and attachment. She brought up all those things on her own, cut them, burnt them, and threw them away. She was convinced. She was happy. But something happened days after. The dream she normally have, she had that same dream again. And she was telling the devil in that dream, but I don't have your properties again. I have destroyed your properties. The voice in that dream said, no, you still have our property. He said, no, I have destroyed all your properties. The devil said, no. The demon in that revelation said, no, you still have our property. And she woke up. She was sharing this with me. I said, what are the properties that is still left? That became a trouble. We were praying. About 2-3 days later, she went to the kitchen. On the top of the cupboard, there is a carton she kept there. She brought it down and discovered there are still weevon that are still in that carton she didn't remember to throw away. Immediately she said, oh, this is what the accuser of the brethren is accusing me of, that I still have their property. Immediately she took it and she burnt it. From that and today, the dream ceased. When the accuser, the opposing voice, when they come, is there anything of them that they can still point to and say, yes, this is what our property you are still holding? Beloved of God, for you to be in the ruling party, to shun the opposition, you must make sure that you are transparent. Because the opposition will always look for any fault in order to attack you. Praise Master Jesus. They want to tell you that the mission you are going in is not possible. That you cannot achieve that which the Lord has mandated you to achieve. That was how Elisha closed the voice of those oppositions of his life. The test where we took about Nehemiah is an ordinary man that God has raised to be the cupbearer of the king of Medo-Persia in their days. Nehemiah was very okay. He was living large. He was doing his duty. But one day, he got the news that his people down there in Israel, that they are suffering. They are passing through pains. The wall of Israel, Jerusalem, that was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar, is still lying waste there. Nobody has touched it. Nehemiah began to cry. He began to sober. And Nehemiah met the king and told the king, I want to go back to do the work the Lord has called me to do. And the king supported him. Nehemiah led the third exodus from exile to Israel. Remember, Zerubbabel led the first one, and about 70 to 80 years, Ezra led the second returnees, and about 13 years after Ezra have led them, it's now the turn of Nehemiah to lead them. When Nehemiah go to Israel, Judea, to do that which the Lord has called him to do, Tobias and Sambalat, they stood against him as the voice of opposition. Let us see that Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 10. It said, when Sambalat, the hero knight, and Tobias the servant, the Ammonite, heard of it, it grieved them exceedingly that there come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. The things your father could not achieve, the things no man in your generation have been able to achieve, suddenly you have risen from nowhere, coming back from Lagos, coming back from Abuja, going back to ask them, this building that my father started, he didn't finish. I want to finish it. And an uncle is asking, have you come to give liberation to the people of your village? An auntie is asking, have you come to liberate those that were tied? Tobias and Sambalat, they are top rulers. Their rank is like the rank of governors in that province where they were. And these two voices and three of them has been the voices that have stopped the first returnees from doing that which the Lord has called them to do. They stopped them from building the walls of Jerusalem until Nehemiah came back. He mobilized his force and he said, we are going to stop every voice of opposition. I don't know the voice of opposition in your family. I don't know the voice of opposition in your generation. From generation to generation, they stop your grandfather, they stop your father, and they are prepared to stop you. Look at, from the first time they returned, the first people that Zerubbabel led from the time of Nehemiah is almost 90 years. And nobody could stand up to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Why? Because the voice of opposition have strengthened them. Which voice is strengthening you tonight? The hour has come. I want to call on you like Nehemiah called on the people and show them the reason why they must fight. I want to show you the reason why you must pray tonight. When we start praying, and it's a good thing that it's in the night, because night is when they actually walk. The Bible says that when men slept, the evil one came to plant seed of discord in that same land. But luckily enough, we are not sleeping, because we are here to meet them one on one and frustrate every of their plans. Let's see that book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 4 verse 14. Nehemiah, after he have seen the voices of opposition, is threatening the people to stop the work the Lord has called them to do. Nehemiah encouraged them. He encouraged them, not for yourself, not for your immediate family, but you have to put a stop to the menace of the enemy against your generation. Let's see that. Let's see that. He said, and I looked, and I rose up, and I said unto the nobles, and to the rulers, and to the rest of the people, be not you afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible. Take note now. This is the reason why you must pray when we call to pray. Because it's not because of you, but there are people that your prayer is directly dependent on. He says, and fight, he said, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons, and your daughters, and your wives, and your household. Nehemiah began to encourage these people. The reason why they have to stand against every voice of opposition. If the voice of opposition destroys you, there is 100% chance that they are still going to get your children if they do not rise up to fight that battle. There are pains and problems we are going through today that we needed not to go through if our parents stood their ground to fight that battle once and for all. Am I saying something? There are tears some of us we are shedding today. We need not to do that if our parents have stood their ground to say no to the menace of the enemy. That is their generation. Another time has come for you to prove that which the Lord has asked you and have called you to do. Praise Master Jesus. And the people were strengthened by this encouragement of Nehemiah. And the people began to walk. Not only walking, they were walking with one hand and they were holding their weapons with the second hand because they know if they don't stop the enemy is definitely going to stop them like the enemy has stopped their generation before them. Until you understand the purpose of your creation and begin to amend things, you will never get to that purpose and that climax the Lord has created you to be. There are people that are created for their families. There are people that are born for their village. There are people that are born for their community. There are still people that are born for their generation. I don't know the purpose of your own creation, but you can start from very little. David understood the purpose of his creation. Let us see the book of Acts, chapter 13, verse 36. Acts chapter 13, verse 36. He said, for David, take notes, after he had saved his own generation by the will of God, fell asleep and led unto his father. The will of God concerning the creation of David is to serve a full generation. And David lived to that cost by cutting off the head of opposition against the people of God, which is Goliath. David realized that he was created for a generation. Not only the family of Jesse, not only his community, but he was created for a generation. And that was why, before he was ever made king, when there are any national war, you see David at the forefront. You see him at the forefront because that was the reason and purpose while he was created. Until we sit down and begin to know the reason and purpose why we are created in life, we will not make impact in life. Do you know why? When you look at the book of Matthew chapter 26, when you start from verse 51, 52, 53 to 56, something happened there that is very, very interesting. This was about the time for Jesus to depart from this earth. Let's see it. He said, "And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear." That is Peter. "Then said Jesus unto him, Put up again thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that thus it must be?" I want somebody to place your eyes on this scripture. Jesus was talking to Peter. He said to him, "How then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that thus it must be?" Jesus Christ, men came to him and they arrested him. He was going with this man that have arrested him. He never fought with them. He never stopped his arrest. And suddenly, as they were going, one of his servant Peter chopped off the ears of the servant of the high priest. And immediately they all left Jesus because the battle had started. And Jesus, they were supposed to go somewhere with, they left him and they began to fight battle. Instead of Jesus to escape, Jesus turned to the supposed Peter who's supposed to be with him. There is now a voice of opposition to the purpose why Jesus Christ was created. He said to Peter, "Do you think if it's to be war that I cannot call my Father to send 12 legions of angels?" Peter, if we start to fight this war, there is a purpose I was created that you want to stop. And when I begin to look at the life of Jesus, Jesus Christ came into the public landmark after 30 years. Now, the question I was asking and the question every Bible student we ask, where have Jesus been from the time he was born to the age of 30 years? Where has he been? What has he been doing that no one, not too many people knew about him, that he just came up and at the age of 30 to 33, he completed his ministry and he went forth. Brother, when I was searching that in my spirit, I get to know that Jesus Christ took 30 years of his life to study the purpose of his creation. He said, "I have come in the volume of the books that is written of me." In that book, Jesus Christ began to ask questions according to the scripture. He said he was found in the temple asking the Pharisees and the Sadducees questions. In the book, he saw where it was written that the Messiah will be born from a virgin birth. And Jesus Christ went to his mother Mary, Mommy Mary. He said, "Mama, how was I born?" And Mary said, "You are born of a virgin birth." And Jesus Christ wrote it down. This is one sign of the Messiah. And he went back to the teachers in the house and he said to them, "The Messiah, where is the Messiah going to be born?" They said, "According to the volume of the books that was written about the Messiah is to be born in Bethlehem, Judah." And he went back to his mother. He said, "Mother, where was I born?" His mother said, "Jesus, you were born in Bethlehem of Judah." Jesus Christ wrote it down as the volume of the things that was written concerning the coming of the Messiah. when he was fully nourished and established that he is truly the Messiah, Jesus Christ began to fight every voices of opposition that wants to make him not to accomplish the purpose of his creation. In the book of John chapter 4, he said to Peter, he said, Peter, in the book of John chapter 4, I think that is verse 26. Give me 25 and 26. We want to bring up a statement there. The woman said unto him, I know that the Messiah cometh. They are talking about the Messiah. And the woman and the people of Israel, they are still waiting for the Messiah. And he said to her, he said, the woman said, I know that the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Verse 26, take notes. Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee, I am he. Jesus Christ laid a claim that needs to be proven. Anybody can claim to be the Messiah. Anybody can stand up and say, I am the Messiah. Jesus Christ told Peter, have you forgotten that I told the woman at the well that I am the Messiah? And what is written about the Messiah is that the Messiah is going to the cross to die. Jesus, Peter, I made a claim to that woman. I need to prove it because that is the purpose of my creation. Until you understand the purpose of your creation, you are not going to make impact in this life. You will be limited by voices of opposition. Peter, even as close as he was with Jesus, was a voice of opposition about the purpose of Jesus' creation. You need to be sensitive in life to pick up and know that which the devil has fashioned to stop you from that which the Lord has ordained you to be. The Messiah is fashioned, destined. Jesus Christ, for 30 years of his life, was studying the volume of the books written about the Messiah. And when he was established, looking at the events of his life, his birth, how he went to Egypt, how Herod was about to kill him, he saw all this pointed to him as the Messiah. He said, I have no other argument. He said to the woman, I am the Messiah, and I'm going to prove it. He was on his way to prove it. And Peter stood up as an opposing voice. The voice of opposition, if you don't pick them out, they will stop you. Brother Dozier said, stop them before they stop you. In the line of life, I wouldn't know that which you have picked from life. I wouldn't know that which you have taken, but by the reason of the prayers we will pray tonight, we will go back there to wash our feet from that which the enemy has been opposing us with, because we must move forward. With this understanding, you can go there now, you wash your feet, and you will position yourself for the battle that is ahead. It's a good thing, because in the night is when battles are being fought. Voices of opposition. In the book of 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 20, something transpired in the night, because the woman never recognized the voice of opposition that she had, and she slept instead of her being awake. Yes, he said, and she arose at midnight and took my son from my side while thy handmaid slept, and laid it in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. At midnight is when destinies are being exchanged. Destinies, careers And the things the Lord has called you to be, if you are not watchful, at midnight is when the enemy will bring the dead child unto you and take that which the Lord has deposited in you. But because we are awake tonight, we are going to stop every advancement of the devil of the enemy to exchange whatsoever that the Lord has given to us freely. In your business, while you were asleep, the enemy, you just woke up with one idea, you don't know where it came about. And before you know, you went about that idea that just brought you down. Are you prayerful? The enemy must have exchanged that which you are using now with what good the Lord has placed in your hand. That is why we are going to pray tonight. Praise Master Jesus. At midnight was when Saul was sleeping. Saul was sleeping, and David came into his camp and cut off the rope, the head of the rope of Saul, while Saul was sleeping. If David was not godly and one that fears anointing, Saul would have been a dead man. Who knows how many death escape in your dream? Because for 1 week, you don't pray, you don't join the VG. I said when we started, we come to this VG, we pray as we are going to pray today. When you finish praying, you will be too hot that the enemy will come close to you. So if you don't come to prayers meeting VGs like this, you are the one doing yourself. Because when the enemy comes, he sees that you are weak and you are sleeping, they can penetrate. When you finish this night, tomorrow, before Sunday, who is that enemy that will come close to you? On Sunday, we come again and we recharge. And you move into the week. Who is that enemy that will come to you? And that we do. And the people will say, ah, this church every Friday, on another tire. We're not a tire because the Bible says that the enemy cometh. We want to make sure when he comes, he will not see anything in us to get hold of. That is why we are awake. We want to make sure when he comes, he doesn't see anything to pin us down. And that is why we will continue to fight this battle until he, the Lord, says it is over. Beloved of God, tonight is a night of battle. When the enemies of Samson devised the means to stop Samson from what the Lord has called him to be, the Bible said Samson stayed. He waited till midnight. And he went to pull the gates. The door. Let's see that in the book of Judges. Judges chapter 16 verse 3. Okay. He said, and Samson laid till midnight. He waited till midnight and arose at midnight and took the doors of the gates of the city and the two posts and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulder and carried them up to the top of an hill that is before Hebron. Midnights are good times to fight these battles of men and women that have risen to stop you. Before Nehemiah could go ahead to build the walls of the city, the Bible said, at midnight, Nehemiah goes around the city to survey. There is power in midnight prayer. And don't forget, Nehemiah encouraged the people that this battle you want to fight is not for you, but it's for you and your children and your sons and your daughters and them that is to come. Why? The plans of the enemy is to seize the work of God in your life. Until we realize that the power of the enemy is to stop us, we will never amount to that which he has created us to be. Now, the good step to start with is feet washing. It's the time now to look at your brother and look at your sister. You will tell him, I know that there are voices of opposition fighting against your life, but I have come to speak positive things to this life. As I wash your feet, I am washing away every voices of the enemy that have injected into this life. For the past 1 month that we washed our feet to this month, if there be any power, any voices that have tied your leg down not to progress, by this action, is going to be cut off. That is the good thing and the mystery God has given to this ministry. That once every month we come down there to say, in the last month, if there be by mistake any debt we have picked along the way, is the time we wash it out. And we say, Papa, I want again move ahead and do the things which you've called me to do. Never allow the voices of opposition to get root in your life, because their purpose is to kill you. Their purpose is to make sure you don't get to that place where God has called you. Their purpose is to make sure the work of God in your life ceases. Let us see that in the book of Nehemiah again. Amen. I want to get the scripture where he told them that the work of the Lord, they wanted to cease in their time. And he asked them to fight. Okay, Nehemiah 4:11. He said, and our adversaries said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in their midst among them and slay them and cause the work of God in their life to cease. That is what the enemy wants to achieve in your life. That is what the voices of opposition want to achieve in your life. To make sure that work the Lord has started in your life, that you do not accomplish it. But before they stop you, we must stop them tonight. The powers that stopped your father, that thought that the generation of your father is your generation, they will be disappointed after tonight, because you have known more things than that which your parents knew before. Tonight is a night where we are going to rise and take that which belongs to us, because the battle is of the Lord, and the Lord has given us that which it takes to fight that battle. The scripture says that we are the battle axe of the Lord. If you are the battle axe of the Lord, you must be ready to fight that war. And the Elisha stopped the voice that wanted to stop the miracle of God in his life. Jesus Christ stopped the voice of Peter that wanted to deny him of letting the world know that he is the Messiah. Are you willing tonight to stop every voice that is determined to stop you? If you are willing, be on your feet. I just want to elevate your faith and make you angry in order for you to pray. Beloved of God, there are voices that are determined. The Bible says over 40 men, they bound themselves. They said, we will not eat, we will not drink until we stop Apostle Paul. They covenanted themselves that they will never test anything until they stop the Apostle Paul from doing the purpose where he was created to accomplish. I want you to look at your life as the representative of your family. Remember, Nehemiah told the people, stand up to fight. You will fight for yourself, your brethren, your parents, your brothers, your sisters, and your household. Beloved of God, are you ready to fight this battle? If you are ready to fight, I want to hear, I am ready. If you are ready to change the situation and your condition, if the condition you are and the condition of your family is palatable, it's okay. There is no problem. You can sit down. But I and I that are here, we want to change the situation of our family. Beloved of God, I will want to lift up your hands. You will first of all tell the Lord, that which I have done that is making the opposers, opposition parties, to get me and deal with me, pull me down, frustrate me, Papa, I am repenting of it right now because I want to fight this battle once and for all. You will confess it before heaven. Tell him, I am sorry. I have suffered enough in the hands of my opposers. You will say, Papa, cleanse me. Let me fight this battle once and for all. That was the prayer of Samson. He said, allow me to do this. Enough is enough. I have been humiliated. I have been bitter. And the Lord granted his request. Open your voice and begin to ask God for mercy this hour. Tell Papa, I am asking for mercy because there is a battle I want to fight right now. Get your mind prepared tonight. We are going to pray because there are powers mandated to stop you from the purpose of your creation. We are going to pray. Tell Papa, have mercy upon my life. Have mercy on my destiny. That which I have done, that which I have failed to do, cleanse me, God. Now I realize that when the accuser comes and he finds something in me, he can penetrate and deal with me. You are here tonight because you have come to pray. Let that prayer of forgiveness come from the depth of your heart. That is the beginning to bring God by your side. That is the beginning to bring God by your side. Begin to talk to him. Begin to talk to him. Begin to talk to him. Yes, my Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Lift up your hands to heaven. Our Father and our God, as your armies, for your word in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, you say we shouldn't give room to the devil. Papa, we have come, we've asked you for mercy because we want to confront that which has determined to stop us. Heavenly Father, every voice that are lifted up tonight, asking you for one forgiveness of sin or the other, Papa, we beg of you, cleanse us, O Jehovah, and give us victory in this battle even before we start. In Jesus' blessed name we pray. If you believe in that prayer, make a joyful noise to the Lord. Make a noise of battle to the Lord.